Hey everyone, this is your super chic, small physique Monique from 2AB Development Studies, present when you need a buddy.
Hello everyone, I'm Michelle, your belle, your songbird that wants to be heard, always here to help, just say the word. I'm Michelle Cornejo from 1AB Communication.
I am Zach Diro, your beach buddy, legally blondie from 4BS Legal Management.
And I'm Saj, your uncomparable ball of sunshine, Ilocano DJ from 2BS Management Honors. Come chill with us as we talk about anything and everything that we definitely hashtag geek out on. Hey guys, how are you? How's everyone feeling?
We're good.
Doing okay.
We're
good. Yeah, really. Pretty excited.
You're excited? I'm excited too. My first on-site recording. But anyway, so last week during our last talk on Pop Asia, we were talking about the music industry. We talked a lot of things from K-pop to international parts, and something that was really significant was Seventeen, right? The Be The Sun two-day concert in Manila. Have you
Definitely.
Heard of that, actually?
Yes. I'm not a fan, but I heard of it.
Yeah, right. So, actually, it was also my first time that I heard two concerts kasi they're gonna come back December 17 sa Bulacan, dun sa Philippine Arena, which
oh
is actually super cool. It was, I don't know about you, but I think it's the first time that I've heard like two concerts for two artists in the same year. Is it just me?
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
And it's
in the province pa.
Yeah, right? That's so
with
cool.
Isn't it a bigger arena?
Yes, it is definitely a bigger arena. And they're going to perform, actually, if I'm not mistaken, 25 songs. It's like, that's
wow.
So you have Hot. Have you heard of that on TikTok?
Yes, I have.
Hot. Oh, yeah.
Choreography is memorized.
Right? And to Never Ending, very nice. Like, how about you guys? You have thoughts on Seventeen, like, as a band or, like, their fans?
For me, I really noticed that Seventeen, they have such a solid group of fans. Mm. They're called Carrots, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And I love that there's just such a big group. And mm-hmm. I've seen some videos of them, you know, hanging out, and they're just really nice. But what about SB19? Have you heard of them?
SB19. Wah, kunwari pa, syempre, of course, they're like one of the biggest boy groups, not only in the Philippines now, especially their newest song, Where You At? And they even performed that on Good Day New York, right? So, you know, along with its retro sound, the accompanying Where You At music video takes audience out at a stressful 2022 and transforms them back to times that can make audiences of all ages nostalgic. Going back to the 50s, 70s, and 90s, it is a trip down memory lane, and really, we can say that music transcends beyond time, and that's a very, very cool topic. How about you guys? You have any thoughts on SB19?
I actually don't know much about them, but what about you guys?
I don't know much about K-pop at all.
K-pop, yeah. It's especially OPM infused with K-pop vision, and that is SB19 in the flesh, and that's very, very cool. And with that said, let's geek out upon our pop girl, pop boy domination topic for today. So for today, we're talking about, of course, the one and only Taylor Swift. No further introductions.
Lay.
So Midnights. It's like no introduction needed. Before diving into it, like, what are your favorite tracks of Midnights, if there are?
Personally, I haven't listened to the whole album yet, but I really do like Midnight Rain, of course. The lyrics hit so hard. Mm-hmm.
How about you guys?
I'm going to be honest with you. I have not listened to it. I am pretty late on that train. But I think my favorite track would be Bejeweled. All because I think TikTok is trying to psycho something about it. Is making me inclined.
Right.
What about you, Zach?
If we're talking about TikTok, you can't like ignore Anti-Hero.
Of course.
Definitely.
I'm the problem. It's me.
Well, anyway, Midnight is, you know, I can say Taylor Swift's witching hour. You know, it was, you know, it encapsulates how she came from a small town to a city light success. All these cool stuff, you know, in folklore, as they said, she chose to wander out. But in Midnight, she draws from her inner life. And I feel like that's such a beautiful piece. And, you know, aside from that, Zach was sharing to me a while ago that in the top 100 billboards, she was part of the top 10, like the whole list. And I think that's historical, right?
That is very historical.
Like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, that's crazy.
I think she planned that. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, I think there's a song on the album that's, I think, Mastermind?
Mastermind,
if I'm not mistaken. She's a mastermind for that.
Oh, for real.
Miss Taylor did not get her PhD for nothing, guys.
Of course.
This is Lay. And you know what? So personally, you shared your favorite tracks. And my favorite track, I feel, was Snow on the Beach, just because it featured Miss Lana Del Rey.
Oh the my one gosh,
and only. And you know, it's really about this early fragile stage when one is scared that it could be broken at the slightest touch. But then, like, you know, it's part of your growth. It's part of your process, you know? Miss Taylor Swift can be my therapist right here, right now. And actually, like, with that said, you know, how about the Eras Tour? Have you heard of the Eras Tour?
The Eras Tour. Actually, no, I'm not quite updated with Taylor Swift's whereabouts.
How about Zach? The Eras Tour.
I'm not very familiar. I can't say I am.
I thought it was going to be a world tour, if I'm being honest, but apparently
yeah,
not,
exactly.
Right? I think it's only in the States.
You should actually subscribe to me now. I can teach you Taylor Swift courses all over.
Oh actually, Saj, Prof Era?
Prof Era, I feel, but Taylor Swift subjects only. So, you know, the Eras Tour actually... If you see all over TikTok, you know, they were talking lots of stuff about tickets getting sold out, being in queue for 6 hours, and it's crazy. Like, you know, the dedication and the love for Taylor Swift really transcends time.
Definitely.
And with that, aside from Taylor Swift, there's also been a lot of new releases by Western female pop artists. What are your thoughts on these artists and their songs?
Well, of course, we have to note The Loneliest Time by Carly Rae Jepsen, the one, I'm coming back to you. I always see that on TikTok, but unfortunately, I still haven't really listened to Carly Rae Jepsen's new album. However, I love that Meghan Trainor is now coming back with her new album, Taking It Back. Right. And I love it so much because she's bringing back the sound, the 50s doo-wop infused with pop, because one of her first albums called Title, it was released in 2015, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. I was a big fan of that. Super. I loved replaying all of those songs. But then when she kind of transitioned into the EDM trap pop era, where it was kind of like the Boss B era, mm-hmm, yeah, I didn't really like it as much because it wasn't really her. Mm-hmm. But of course, the song No and Thank You, I think. Mm-hmm, I think those were really good songs. However, I really love her comeback these days. And of course, clearly the pop girlies have been dominating the music scene. But this second half of 2022, it seems nothing will stop their momentum anytime soon. Or so we think. Mm-hmm. But how about the pop boys? Where are they? What exactly are they up to right now? Zach, what do you think?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. So while I love Miss Taylor's music and the album, with the new album of both Drake and 21 Savage, her loss, I think 8 spots from the top 10 are now theirs. And it's so exciting because they also had a lot of collabs in Drake's previous album. And now I actually really love the music that they're making. What are your favorite songs?
I would have to put Circo Loco on my top one.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
not going to lie to you. That little part where he's like, what is that? Where it, there's a part in the beginning that comes from another song.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So good.
It comes from an early 2000s song,
yes,
if I remember correctly.
Anyone, everyone like, else? I mean, I'm more into Taylor than, you know, Drake. But, you know, I feel like I've heard of the song. What's the title of the song again?
Circo Loco.
Yeah, and then, like, there were references from a certain celebrity
yeah.
that we're going to talk about later on. Yeah. So I'm going to be more interested in that.
Okay.
How about maybe the stan in Twitter right now? The stan culture. Any thoughts on the stan culture? I know that because this particular artist that was mentioned here really balled it out on Twitter. So with the stan Twitter culture.
Okay, I'm not going to lie to you. That whole thing about Circo Loco and mentioning another artist, mm-hmm, I've seen that part of stan Twitter, and a mm-hmm lot of people on stan Twitter are, as we all know, kind of toxic. Mm. But I think it was explained. I don't remember my sources. I'm very sorry. But
okay,
it was explained that because Stallion isn't capitalized, it doesn't necessarily... it doesn't create banter mm-hmm against Megan Thee Stallion because actually the term Stallion means a African-American or black thick girl.
Yeah,
you know?
Slave for the
so,
girl empowerment.
Yeah, it's not it's a general term, mm-hmm, I would like to think. But if there is a little beef there, that's I'm just here enjoying the music, guys. Like but yeah, I don't know. Other things maybe on the other spectrum, Taylor Swift being overrated. What do you guys think about that?
Stan
Twitter
offended.
Saying
I feel like Taylor Swift is part of my childhood, I grew up with her, and I feel that's why we continually love her. She's not overrated.
Definitely.
She's gone through so much things, the good, the bad. She went through my adolescence phase, if you will, and has built who I am today. Well, so we're gonna... But, you know, I feel like, you know, she's not overrated. How about you guys?
For me, I also grew up with Taylor Swift. I was a very active and avid fan up until the album 1989. After that, I kind of started exploring other music genres, so I kind of strayed away from my Taylor Swift roots. However, I would say that she is not overrated. She's actually really inspiring, and a lot of the people who say she's overrated are usually misogynistic, because there's one time she had a talk on how she would always... succumb to the things that people are saying about her, becoming quiet on social media and in the media in general. But the thing is with Taylor Swift, she said something along the lines of, she writes songs about heartbreaks and her past relationships, and people would shame her about that. But when men do it, no one says anything. Ed Sheeran, all of his songs are about heartbreaks. John Mayer, almost all of it. So how come everyone is shaming Taylor Swift but not the men? No shame on them. It's just, where is the equality there? So I don't think she's overrated at all.
You're so valid for that, Michelle. Really
interesting. I love that for you. Yeah. And then speaking of men, Kanye West and the Taylor Swift feud, we're talking about the fall of Kanye West.
Oh my goodness. Well, I think it's something that we've all been expecting, especially over the past couple of years, where... I mean, he's been pretty problematic. And apart from the fact that he has, I'm pretty sure he has a couple of mental health conditions. And I don't think that's an excuse for you to be what he's like right now, you know.
How about you, Zach? What are your thoughts on Kanye West and everything?
I mean, I feel like that's just a reflection of what happens when you bite a tailor, especially during an awards show. So I feel like Kanye had it coming for quite a while, as well as the actions he'd do. As well as, like, as a businessman, the things he'd do and say about the people he'd partner with, such as Gap, it was really intense, and a lot of it was quite unfair with the things he'd say about these brands. So he had it coming, and I also heard, I feel like he tried to approach Skechers, but he was escorted out immediately after, because, of course, the things that he said, Skechers took that personally, that's for sure.
Yeah, so while his mental health issues don't justify his actions, they provide some context on why the world may be seeing this behavior, you know, when it's being projected out there. Many people are calling for Kanye to step away from his platform and get assistance to take some time to rehabilitate himself. But once again, he's a famous personality that regardless whatever happens, you know, he is stagnantly going up and above, and people will always have something to say about him, right?
And I did want to say something about what you said, Zach. When you bite at Taylor Swift, she will bite back. Because in Taylor Swift's song, Karma, she says, "Karma is my boyfriend. Karma is a god. Karma is the breeze in my hair on the weekend. Karma's a relaxing thought. Aren't you envious that for you? It's not." And of course, why don't we talk about first what I said a while ago, the pop girls versus pop boys dilemma. It has timelessly been present in Stan Twitter discourse. Pop girls constantly need to reinvent and improve themselves to drastic extents in every music era, or else they'll do poorly in their job, they won't be interesting to the public anymore, and it's almost akin to being a chameleon, needing to change all the time. And I would like to track back to what Taylor said when she kept succumbing to these comments, because people were saying, she's too country, so she went pop. This is too pop, this isn't you anymore. Okay, so she released something else. They didn't like it, so she stopped releasing music. But the thing is, in many of these music eras, people have been saying that female artists are often expected to be more sexy, bare-skinned, and feminine when performing or promoting their music, which is weird, because when an artist who isn't famous for being that way starts acting that way, starts changing their image to become like that, then they get shamed. They get body shamed. They're... actions start to be judged more, even though that's what a lot of people want. So it's quite contradicting. But should female artists make mistakes or not meet certain standards, it is said that they are also subjected to more intense scrutiny and criticisms than their male counterparts. And what are your guys' thoughts on that?
I feel like, you know, that's beyond music. That's already been a culture, a tradition.
No,
and
definitely.
That's sad, and we need to do something about it. And the fact that we're opening up conversations about this, I think it's a powerful and integral move.
Yes.
How about you guys? What are your thoughts?
I think it's also a symptom of what the industry is like and how the industry treats female artists. So like what you said earlier, Soj, I think it's a very systemic problem already. And as much as the audience wants to veer away from that, I feel like that's also something that other audiences perhaps take into consideration in, with their music taste. Right? So what about you, Zach?
I feel like mentioned before, Meghan Trainor is making a comeback, and that is such an important thing because as an artist herself, she has really made a stance on what she believes about this entire topic and how the expectation against women should be
set.
It's such a hard word to you to place, you know. That's
definitely.
There's so much things to describe it, just so little, limited opportunities. And how about for pop boys, though, Michelle?
Yeah, that's true. Pop boys, I did mention this, that they're just not judged as much. It is believed that the male artists are not subjected to the same level of standards and expectations that women regularly face in our society. And like what you said, Soj, it is not just in music, it is a societal thing. It has been in civilization for maybe centuries now, actually, and it's still very present to this day, even though we are more progressive now. But would you guys agree that this is true? Do you think that men have a certain advantage, especially when it comes to the music industry?
Definitely. I'd say men definitely have an advantage, because look at the people we mentioned before, such as Kanye, because for women, even their behavior, it's something people often criticize, but Kanye is out here doing whatever he wants, and he still has so much support and backing from different people, from different from different albums as well.
That's so true, because when a woman does something like, if a girl did something that Kanye is doing, everybody would be like, oh, she's so unhinged. But then Kanye's been pretty problematic for a couple of years now, and it's only now that he's getting called out for it. I don't think that's pretty fair. What about you guys?
I'm just no words. I feel like, once again, it's a systemic problem, and it's already tolerated to the point that we try to, you know, merit, demerit, attitudes, behaviors upon whatever gender you might have or whatever, you know, identification you may have. And I feel like we can do so much more, more than just appreciating music.
That's true.
We should always try to take a stand and make something out of that music. No, that includes, you know, the people that we stand, the people that we support. To go to beyond genders, you know, having to understand the values and the morals that your artist is trying to put forward.
No, for
I
sure.
I feel like that's such a powerful thing that we should consider.
Yes, that's so true. And especially a while ago when I mentioned how women, when they change their appeal, usually more sexual, and it is usually for the male gaze, of course, as we know. But related to the male gaze, do you think there is such a thing as female gaze when it comes to pop boys? Or would you apply this to pop boys? What do you guys think about the female gaze?
I'm not gonna lie to you. I feel like the male gaze is very only applicable when it comes to looking at women. Because the female gaze, people wouldn't really talk about like how women look at men, because there's already like a set expectation that we don't I don't know how to say it, but like we don't necessarily look at them
objectifying
them. There you go, that's the word. We don't that's not the automatic response, or at least the stereotypical response. But I think it's arguable that there is a female gaze, but I don't think it should veer away from the fact that it's the male gaze that kind of bred a female gaze.
That's
anything,
true.
Right?
And with that said, maybe we can ask our viewers, what do you think, guys?
Right. Do you guys think that the pop music industry will be female dominated or male dominated, both or neither? Why? Or why not? What about you guys? What do you guys think about this?
I have already said my piece. I don't want to rehash whatever I said, but you know, there's so much more that we can do. So with that said, what do you think about the whole pop girls and pop boys dilemma? Is it a bop or a flop? Share your thoughts on Twitter using our hashtag TheGeekOut and hashtag FollowTheSound.
And of course, to our listeners, if you have any music that you'd like to share with us, please do drop it on our socials. Who are the singers, rappers, producers, and lyricists behind these songs?
Okay, and with that, always, always follow this sound. We'll get back to you in a short while. Kilala mo ba ang UP Buklod Isip? Aba, ito ang tanging akademikong organisasyon sa UP na nagsusulong ng Psikolohiyang Pilipino o SP. Kaya kung interesado ka sa Maka-Pilipinong Psikolohiya at sa aplikasyon nito sa buhay natin, narito ang UP Buklod Isip para sa iyo. Inihandog nila ang San na si SP 2022 Paper Presentation at Roundtable Discussion na may temang Alpas, ang tungkulin ng SP sa bagong yugto ng kasaysayang Pilipino. Gaganapin ito sa ika-26 ng Nobyembre ng alas 2 hanggang alas 5:30 ng hapon sa Zoom at FB Live. Maaari kayong mag-sign up sa tinyurl.com/snssp-ppxrtd22regform. Para sa karagdagang impormasyon, maaari silang mahanap sa Facebook na UP Buklod Isip at sa Twitter at Instagram na @UPBukladIsip.
All right, and we are back. This is DJ Michelle, and our next topic is One Big Flop, the story of Elon Musk and Twitter. All right, so before we start this discussion, I'd like to give you guys a little bit of an introduction. So, right, we talked about Stan Twitter earlier. What else have you been hearing about Twitter? Have you guys heard about Elon Musk buying Twitter?
Yes, as an active Twitter user, as a... You know, I use Twitter for my brain farts, pretty much. 80% of my thoughts are on Twitter, so I am there all the time.
You want to subscribe to that, honestly.
Oh my gosh. maybe. But yeah, I've been hearing a lot about Elon Musk over Twitter.
Yeah.
It was actually even a quiz question for us in my politics class.
Really?
It was so funny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But what was interesting about that, because when I heard about it, I was like, oh my goodness, why will Elon Musk, out of everyone in the world, buy Twitter? And according to AFR.com, Musk says he got involved to, quote-unquote, help humanity improve free speech. Free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy, and Twitter is the digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated, he said this year. And this article was only published 3 days ago, so you can tell how recent this is. Yeah. What are your guys' thoughts on how he thinks Twitter will help humanity and improve free speech?
I find it interesting that he mentions stuff about a democracy. First of all, he's not a politician.
Yes.
Second of all, why is your first solution to fixing a democracy buying a social media platform?
Yes.
Right? He has so much money. Why doesn't he put his money into working towards maybe combating climate change or something like that? Rather than just going, oh, I can buy you, and actually does it. And
yes,
people are like, okay, what now? So, I don't know. That's what I think about it. It's very political if you think about it.
As a somboy, it's the management side of things. It's the business side of things.
Yeah.
You know, it's late. It's not even a latent fact at this point that Twitter has so much potential, has such a great platform, and he can use it to really maximize his business. I think that's the bottom line of all of these. How about you, another somboy?
For me, it's kind of hilarious, actually. Since it has been a while since he purchased Twitter, I've seen some of the interactions he's had, such as with Doja Cat.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah,
then he implemented so many new rules. And so Doja Cat changed her name to Elon Musk. And
that's
then
hilarious.
Elon changed her name using his power as the new owner of Twitter to just fart. Just fart.
Like, that's still on brand for her, though. I'm not gonna
lie.
Like, Elon's democracy is looking pretty weird.
Democracy that's only self-serving.
Exactly.
Definitely.
That's not a democracy.
Exactly. And no, I liked what you said, Monique, about how he could have put that money into a better cause. And by the way, he bought Twitter for $44 billion.
Ooh.
Billion with a B.
Yeah.
And instead of doing something better with that, I don't know, trying to create a foundation or something that could actually help humanity actively and faster than Twitter would.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going through his head. But with that $44 billion, and now that it is under his control, he has added new features. So since Elon Musk's ownership of the platform, new features were announced. One notable update is the revamp of Twitter's verification system. Because you know how, like, you can't really get verified by yourself. You have to be famous or have to have a company. Mm-hmm. But now, the new Twitter Blue is an $8 monthly subscription that includes perks in addition to getting verified. And other features include the ability to attach long texts on tweets, mm-hmm, and secondary tags to identify public figures. Oh, and changes were also made in Twitter's privacy policy and content moderation, with Musk even lifting prim bans. So, The only feature rolled out recently, though, was a gray, quote-unquote, official checkmark, which was withdrawn hours after its launch. So that's quite interesting.
Gray checkmark? It's not on RAD.
No, definitely. I just also want to add to the 44 billion. Did you know that Twitter was offering it at 4 billion? And he said, no, I'll pay 44.
Oh, my God.
And it was like, oh, okay.
Well, that $40 billion could have gone to so much
exactly, better. Exactly, yeah. Like we said earlier. But yeah, for $8 a month, Twitter Blue subscribers not only get verified, but also various premium access, so reduced ads, a potential paywall, bypass to paid access websites, and the ability to post 10-minute videos. So the subscription prices will vary in different countries. I'm hoping that in the Philippines, it's not too high. But, you know, considering...
Are you interested to actually do a 10-minute video on Twitter?
Probably not. I mean, I said I post a lot on Twitter, but not 10 minutes of my life. Like, but yeah.
That's fair.
The premium that's most talked about with this is the priority platform visibility in mentions, replies, and search results. So Twitter's actually been experimenting in this in line with this and even defaulting the appearance of the verified tab in the notification screen. Honestly, I haven't been a fan of Twitter's layout for the past couple of years, but I like that they're open to experimenting on that. So while that Twitter Blue is about giving power to people, very democratic, some mention that Twitter will eventually become a platform where influencers cannot equally interact with one another. Okay, not very democratic.
How so?
I don't know. Paid verification means more priority, more exposure, and longer videos. So he's capitalizing on our thoughts. I'm so mad.
Yeah.
But yeah, even Stephen King reacted negatively to this revamp.
The legend?
The writer. But yeah, a lot of people on Twitter also don't like this revamp. But it's... Zach mentioned it earlier that there's been a running joke on Twitter that with Doja Cat requesting Elon Musk to change her display name, it started with her username being Christmas, and then she asked Elon Musk, can I change my username, blah, 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 and he actually responded almost immediately, and then that's the time she changed it to Elon Musk, like a poot version of his face. It's so funny.
Oh my God.
But yeah, in line with that, I guess Twitter accounts that try to impersonate Elon Musk and are eventually getting banned, deactivated, or demoted. So a big boo in my case, because I think it's hilarious.
It's so much more for democracy.
Exactly.
Right? The irony of it.
It's a fake democracy, guys.
And now, extending forward beyond, you know, the social media interface is really the fate of their employees, you know. In a tweet addressed to advertisers, Musk mentions that he acquired Twitter because it's important for them to have a platform where a wide range of beliefs is debated healthily without resorting to violence. As Twitter, I mean, yeah, for sure, like, words can be violent, but I don't really understand what violence he's trying to portray here, considering what he's doing now, you know?
Exactly.
He adds that Twitter aspires to be the most respected advertising platform, or whatever that means. And then aside from that, after Musk's acquisition, brands withdrew their advertisements from the platform amid concerns that Musk will scale back on misinformation. This led to a massive drop in revenue, quote-unquote, with the company losing $4 a day. You know, $4 may be minimal, but when you account for it in a year, 10 years, 20 years, that's going to be so much,
no,
right?
Definitely. And if you take into account how much he spent to even buy Twitter, he's losing so much more money than he expected.
Yeah, and consequently, 50% of Twitter's 7,500 employees were laid off on November 5th.
Oh, no.
That's just disheartening.
That's a massive layoff.
Like, imagine, like, they've even been there longer than he is.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I mean, I guess it's not fair talaga. And then teams that led the development of upcoming features, such as TweetDeck, were also affected by the layoff. You know, the mere selling point of Musk of having new features, siya pa yung mga tinanggal nila, which is like, what? That's crazy. And then days after the layoff, Musk scrapped the work from home policy unless for specific exceptions.
What?
I would never want to work for Twitter if that's the case. How about you, Zach? What are your thoughts on the whole change in Twitter?
Suddenly, working in Instagram is pretty attractive. Like,
or Meta.
Oh, good old Meta.
Suddenly, that's the lesser evil?
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And with that, I guess there's a question that we want to ask everyone.
Yes. Everyone, what are your personal thoughts on Elon Musk's ownership of and takeover of Twitter?
It's a no.
It's a flop.
It's a flop.
It's a flop. It's a flop.
If Taylor's a bop, it's a flop.
It's right. A flop. I do not like Elon Musk. Maybe that's biased, but...
No, that's true. And the fact that Twitter is loved by a billion users, if mm-hmm. I'm correct.
Such as myself.
Exactly. And the fact that Elon Musk comes in with his like zero experience with social media marketing or anything like that, and he just grabs it and ruins it for everybody, lays off 7,500 people from a job that they needed or mm-hmm. enjoyed, even though it's just because he has money. He has the power, he has the platform, and I find that very unfair and miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Even the new features, they are pretty dangerous, which makes sense why people backed out, because this whole verification thing leads a lot of people susceptible to fake news, and like people who are
so right.
1 billion people could just be led to think what these people who subscribe $8 mm-hmm. a month for mm-hmm. like they'll believe that, which is pretty dangerous. So definitely a flop.
That's true. I think it's most dangerous, especially here. We are so vulnerable to disinformation and misinformation in the Philippines.
Like, the Philippines is one of the biggest social media users.
Or actually the biggest one.
Actually,
the biggest one.
I think the only thing I'm holding on to right now is that a lot of the Filipinos prefer using Facebook rather than Twitter. But, you know, even though
Facebook, you know.
Yeah, Facebook is a pretty scary place also.
That's
but,
true.
You know,
that's true.
Actually, just to add, I remember seeing this tweet, I think, of a Twitter employee. She was saying that their crowd, or like the employees, kind of just stay on the side and laugh at Elon Musk because he pretends to know what he has to do, like in terms of how social media works and all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they start calling him names.
Oh my gosh.
I don't remember the name specifically, but as far as I know, the names that they call him are parang codes that they use in social media development.
Like, or fans be
yeah,
like...
Yeah, like, I think something like COE or something like that. And then it just means like he doesn't know anything. So I think it's nice that they're kind of doing quiet encroachment.
Resistance.
I learned that in Sokcai, but yeah.
Latent resistance.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they're still taking their stand even if they're in that. So, yeah.
Speaking of Twitter, guys, share your thoughts on Twitter with us using our hashtag TheGeekOut and Follow the Sound. And a question that you might share while tweeting this out is, if you were chief tweet Elon Musk, what features would you implement in the app? What current features need to be revamped or removed?
Share your thoughts, guys. We'll be listening, watching, reading it out. Maybe, possibly, be democratic.
All right, so we talked about a lot of things today, a lot of heat in this too. But yeah, I think we should go off and summarize everything that we talked about. So we began with Taylor Swift.
Yes.
You know, a lot about that. The hottest pop artist as of right now. What else did we talk about, guys?
Well, for me, with the music part, where is the equality? Where is the gender equality?
Yeah.
Where are the equal standards? What about you, Zach?
For me, it was really like, it got to highlight what lyricism is and how these musicians and artists are able to use their platforms in order to make changes or at least deliver a story that Miss Taylor was definitely able to do with Midnights.
Yeah, so more than the pop boys, pop girls dilemma, we also talked about Twitter, the new ownership, what democracy really is, and what we can do to make that better. So at the end of the day, we're geeking out because we can do something about it. As users, as consumers of all of these, we have a say on this and we should do it properly. And with that, I think that concludes our geek out. So once again,
yay, this is your super chic small physique Monique from 2AB Development Studies, fluorescent when you need a buddy.
I'm Michelle, your bell, your songbird that wants to be heard. Always here to help, so just say the word. I'm Michelle Cornejo from 1AB Communication.
And it is Zach Dira, your beach buddy, legally blondie, from 4BS Legal Management.
And I'm Saj, your uncomparable ball of sunshine, Ilocano DJ from 2BS Management Honors. And please, next time, come chill with us as we talk about anything and everything that we definitely hashtag geek out on.
Geek Out is a production of Magis Radio, which was written by Machu Adriano, Yano Rabonza, and Nico Sampang, and edited by Iso Reyes. Always remember, guys, to keep it Magis and follow the sound.